Brother David, would you come and share with us?
Yay.
Give him a big hand. Yay.
I believe it was Abraham Lincoln. He was called to speak one time. And he asked, how much time do I have? Because if you want me to speak, or when do you want me to speak? You want to speak now and how long? And because if you want to speak now, I'm ready to go. And if you want me to speak for an hour, I'm ready to go. However, if you want me to cut it down to 2 minutes, give me 2 weeks to prepare. So, I'm not prepared, so hang on, folks. No, I'm prepared for the Lord to guide me, but basically what I wanted to share with you is my experience from what I've been taught from spending years in the faith of the net is about making the Word to become real and alive to you and plant it to you and to yourself personally, and that's what we call worship reading the Bible. So if you don't get anything else by the time I'm done with this, I hope I can impart that to you, and maybe some of you are doing that already. I'm not so sure. But I praise the Lord. So I'm going to use the first three chapters of Ephesians and going through that, but I want to give you a little background here. Paul had been ministering all over the world, and he had ministered to the people of Ephesus, and it was later in his ministry, it's not recorded in the Bible until late into the book of Acts, where he visited Ephesians, and near as I can tell, he just kind of passed them by the first time, but then he came back another time. I'm not sure how that works out, but anyhow, in the 19th chapter of Acts, I'm going to read that. That's not going to be on the screen, but it says here that he found some disciples in Ephesus. He came to Ephesus and he found some disciples and said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They said to him, no. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one coming after him, who is Christ." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. And then Peter, it says later on, as you read through in the chapter, that he stayed there for a couple of years and ministered, and then they had a problem because Ephesus was a worshiper of the goddess Diana, and they made silver shrines and things there. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that there was a young lady who had the spirit of divination and they could foretell things. They made a lot of money from her because she had this evil spirit on her. And Paul, she followed them all the time and said, "These men tell us about the wonderful works of God," and so on. And Paul got tired of it. He said, "Come out of her." And that did away with their business. So they're upset and threw them in prison, etc. So the 19th chapter is quite interesting. And I'd just like to say, I heard a man speak, and I went to to his class one time, and a missionary came in, very adamant that you don't need to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As soon as you give your heart to Jesus, you repent, you say, "Lord, come into my heart," the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's all you need. You've got the Holy Spirit now. And I did think about it, I felt like saying, "Have you ever read this 19th chapter of Acts?" It's very clear here. They were believers, but they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to say this to you. If you had that understanding, if you're a good old Baptist, or I shouldn't say that because I love the Baptist. I am a Baptist. I'm married to a Baptist. And so on. But if you believe there's all that's to it, I feel sorry for you. And then I thought, well, it's not really an issue. If you receive the baptism when you're first saved without any feelings, anything like that, all of a sudden you've got the fullness of the baptism, we still need more. We need Jesus all the time. We need more of him. And then I want to go into my testimony now because it kind of fits in here. By the way, I'm just kind of winging this because I'm just not sure where it's going to lead because I got so many things to say here. But anyhow, I was born into a family of 7 children. I was the 8th. And we were poor. And my mother and father, it was 1936, if you can think back that long. So I think we're probably coming out of the Depression at that time. I'm not sure. But anyhow, I was 2 years old, and then my mother passed away, so I don't remember her. But I'm not sure if I had a job, my dad had a job then or not, but he would make aprons and he would go and sell them. I think they were, I don't know, like maybe 75 cents each and 2 for $1 or something, handmade. Now they'd probably have to get about $10 for them, but anyhow. When my mother died, we children, I hardly remember that, but I remember being very lonely. I didn't have a closeness and affection of others because my mother had left me, and they were brothers and sisters, and they took care of me in that. And I remember, I'll tell you, this is kind of funny, but I think we took a bath once a week, and they filled the tub with water, and the oldest one went first, and then everybody else came after, and you're shaking your head. So me, I'm thinking, if I remember that correctly, is that right?
I think it is.
And I remember, I think I was in the 2nd grade, and I'm a little 6-7-year-old boy, and the teacher said, if you don't take a bath, or if you don't change your clothes, I'm going to send you down to the nurse to give you a bath. You better believe I had a bath. Yeah. So we were kind of ragamuffins. That's how we grew up. We would follow the ice wagon down the street to get a piece of ice in the summertime. We had a sign up put in the window for how much ice you want. We'll go in an ice box. I think they might have them now, but they're not ice boxes. These kind of an antique kind of a,
yeah,
I don't know what you'd use them for now, cooler maybe, but on our back porch, and we'd have a sign in the window. It was square, so on top it said 25, and then the next it said 50, and 75, and 100. So whatever number was on top, that's how much ice you wanted, so you didn't have to be home. You just put that in the window. When the ice truck came by, they'd chop up a block of ice and put it in your cooler for you. So we didn't have refrigeration, and we didn't have a telephone either. I remember it was a long time before the telephone. And then when you want to get on the phone, you pick it up, and then blah, 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 somebody's talking on the line.
Yeah.
Maybe more than one family sharing that same phone. But we didn't use the phone that much because we weren't used to that. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I don't know if that's of interest or not. But the main thing I want to say in bringing that to you is that I felt probably unloved or something, even though it's a big family of children. But my brothers and sisters were all older than me. And by the way, my younger brother, he was only July till, he was born in July. My mother died that October that year, so what is that, 5 months, I think. And so he wasn't living with us. He had been adopted by my aunt. And how that came about, this is an interesting story. My mother was a godly woman, and she would get her chores done. You can imagine 7-8 kids, you get them done. She'd get dressed up and she'd go walk down to Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, where the stores were there and people mingling there, and there's lots of Jews in our neighborhood. Next door to us was the Jewish synagogue, and we'd see them rocking back and forth as they're chanting in Yiddish or Hebrew and that, and it was very foreign to me. But she'd go down to the downtown stores and she'd preach the gospel to the Jewish people. Joe and Max, they had a fruit market there. And when I think of Jews, and they talk to me like normal, well, they can't be Jewish, because the Jewish to me has a strong Yiddish accent, you know, and they roll their R's and so on. That's how I remember the Jewish people. But I want to tell you this story because it just shows how God takes care of people. My mother must have had a foresight of going to heaven, I'm not sure, but her sister-in-law, my dad's sister, could not have children. She's, for some reason, they were childless. And so when I was born, she kissed to my mother. I said, oh, he's so cute, let me have him. She said, no, I'll have another one for you.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if she knew what was coming,
oh, wow.
But after she died, sure enough, my younger brother is the other one she had for my aunt.
Oh.
So he grew up apart from us. And thank God, even though he was different from us and we were Pentecostal, he was Lutheran, and we didn't understand each other that very much. But before he died, he gave his heart to the Lord, and he had the testimony, I'm ready to go.
Oh,
and
God.
So he died in faith later on. So I just thank God for the way he's led in my life. I was hungry for God, and I wasn't sure, even as a child, 9 years old, I knew I was a sinner because I'd stolen. I'd go to the store and I'd buy a candy bar and I'd come home and where's the rest of the change? I lost it. Well, you know. And my dad tells a story when I was a kid. They wonder what happened to the jar. I think it was a jar of jam or something like that. David, do you know all about it? No, I don't know. My mouth was dripping. My face was full of the jam. So I don't question the fact that we're born in sin and we have an inclination towards sin, and the lower nature is a real problem. So I was encouraged to give my life to Jesus. The church I belong to, they believe Acts 2:38 was kind of the formula for being saved. They don't say that, I say that formula, and it is true. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And So I thank God for that. I thank God they pushed that there and encouraged me to do that. So I said, well, if I get saved, I didn't know what that was. I thought it was changing my life and start going to church, start being a good boy, and so on. And by the way, I don't remember them saying about the cross and the blood of Jesus for me at that point. So anyhow, I got baptized. I went to the altar and I tarried and for the Holy Spirit. I wasn't sure. I was waiting for something to happen and nothing happened. And so I'm not sure what my experience was then. But then as I went on into following the Lord, I was going to another church, and at that time we had an altar. I wish we had an altar here. I love the altar. It was just like the platform, as you know, it's raised, mm-hmm. of course, but that part in there, in front there, mm-hmm. is a place where you could come and kneel. And my brother, my friend and I, we were probably 12 years old, I'd say, maybe 13. And there was a very wonderful presence of the Lord there, and we'd come and we'd just lay our head down there, and the Lord would come to us. I wasn't claiming to be a Christian. I wasn't claiming to be saved. And we'd be praying, and I just felt his presence so strong and so wonderful. And I remember saying to my friend, I said, "Didn't that feel good?" So that was my first experience of feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I was in high school, and we lived in Minneapolis on 3121 24th Avenue South, about a block from all this stuff that the rioting happened now, but that was back in 1949 or so. When this happened to me, I was hitchhiked to school because we went to school that was located downtown, and there was two ways to get there. One was kind of a diagonal, which was Hiawatha Avenue, and I could get straight to the school real quick. If I got a ride, I could get there in 10 minutes. Otherwise, we could go straight west and then straight north. But the diagonal way, of course, was shorter. So this one morning, I got a ride. I never met the guy before. I had never given me a ride before. But I went the long way. I think I was in the car not more than 10 minutes at very most. But he said something to me that registered. It was the Lord. I know it. It had to be the Holy Spirit. And it just came to me very strongly. It's not what I could do in my trying, or trying to be a Christian, or trying to walk with the Lord in certain steps, but what Jesus did for me on the cross.
Amen.
It was Jesus dying on the cross for me, and he did it all. I didn't have to do it myself.
Yeah.
And it was timing, I guess. It was the Holy Spirit. Can't probably fully understand it. But I believe he was a good Baptist. I just think of that because I know they witnessed strongly. And that it was because Jesus died on the cross for my sin. He did it for me. He did all the work.
Amen.
And I went to school, and I don't think I hit the sidewalk. I was walking above the sidewalk. I was so excited.
Oh, hallelujah.
And so thrilling.
Oh.
And that's the beginning there.
Yeah.
And then things happened to my life. Some were good and some not so good. But the Lord, he promises that he'll work out everything for good to them that love him. And even
yes,
if you
does.
Don't love him as much as you should, he works it out too, because he is good.
Yes.
And he is lovely. So that's my life. I look back on my life, and I'm thinking I'm 84 years old. I probably should write out my obituary. Because, enough of that.
Write your testimony.
Write out my testimony, because it's all about him. It's all about his goodness, what he's done for me. And if I talk about me, it's all my failures and terrible things I've done that nobody should do those things. But anyhow, he's led all my life. I've been through a lot. People make a joke of it sometimes, but I lost three wives. They died on me. It's no fun, I'll tell you that. But what can you do? You got to go on living, right?
Yes.
And now the Lord's given me a wonderful wife again. And I want to tell you something about my baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had been seeking the Lord for the baptism, because we're Pentecostal and we believe you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I believe, according to Acts 19 here, that if you haven't been baptized, it's important that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord baptized me in a meeting in Columbus, Indiana, in 1953 on August 16th, and gave me the gift of tongues. And I don't know if you understand this or not, but I can speak in tongues more comfortably than I can in English. If I were to talk to you in tongues now, I could just rattle off, and I don't do it publicly because it's a sacred gift to me, and I'm not going to make light of it at all, because it's so precious and wonderful. But when I pray, if I can use it as a heavenly language, so I want to encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, seek the Lord about it and see. And by the way, don't seek for tongues. Forget about the tongues.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it.
That's right.
You know?
Him. It's Him.
It's Him. Someone said, don't seek the gift. Seek the giver.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
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 Yeah. You know, to me, it's you start loving Jesus and thinking about His goodness and how wonderful He is. And I just can't express my love for you.
Yes.
You're
yes.
so wonderful. I praise you. I praise you. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will come over you. The Lord baptizes people in different ways. Some people at home and they're lying in bed and maybe they're even dreaming. I don't know, but there's different ways they'll come to you. But it's drawing you closer to Jesus for Himself. And I know people that don't understand, they talk about tongues, it's this and that, but there's too much emphasis on tongues,
yeah.
And it shouldn't be. But the tongues will come. when you love with Jesus and just worship Him and pour out your heart to Him until you can hardly express yourself anymore. and then you can have that wonderful, so I'm thankful for that. I think my time is up pretty much. So getting back to how I started, I want you to turn to Ephesians, the first chapter there. And we're not going to get very far in there. I was hoping to get the first three chapters because the first three chapters are all one continuous, what do I call it, phrase there somehow. They all go together. And so I think I'm going to just go to the first 25 verses now. And so we're all together. We're going by the King James I have in front of me. And I'd like to just read down to, I think it's the 18th verse, is it? 14 14 verses.
Yes.
So let's just read it like it is. And I'll read it without comment, first of all. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by okay, I stopped there because, can you move it up for me here? Oh, I see, I gotta do it. I buy. Let's see, where were we here?
Verse 5.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we, should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Okay, we'll stop there. And I want to back up here. You notice certain phrase was repeated over and over again in here, and it's in him or in Christ.
Yes.
So it's all about Jesus himself.
Yes.
Amen.
So if you were reading this and you would want to put yourself right into this word, you want to consider that this is God speaking to you. And as you read it, mm-hmm. you have a conversation, so to speak, with him. And you pray reading the scripture. Maybe some of you do this already. I hope mm-hmm. you do. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. when you go back over this, you take your time then. I think it's good, if you can, to read a whole book. That only takes, I think you can read this one in probably 40 minutes or something like that, maybe less even. So you get the overall picture. But mm-hmm. then you want to go back where you're on your knees before God and you pray this prayer, Lord, speak to me through your word. Mm-hmm. This is to the faithful in Christ, and help me to be faithful in Christ. Mm-hmm. And then verse 2, grace be to you. And then you stop. Lord, I thank you for your grace. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your peace. Mm-hmm. Thank you for God, blessed be his name. Now you get that from the Old Testament, right? When they see the name of God, blessed be his name. Is that the expression? Mm-hmm. Well, when you come to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you come to the name of Jesus, the name of God, or even it says him or refers to him, might say the Lamb of God and so on. Stop. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. So there's a lot of praising in verse 2 here. Grace be to you and peace from God. I thank you, my God. I thank you that you're my Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I worship you. Yes. Blessed be the God. There's Paul, he's worship reading too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Lord, I don't understand those blessings in heavenly places in Christ that you've given me, but make them real to me, Lord. Open my heart to your word. Make your word real to me, Lord. According as he hath chosen us in him. Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen me as part of the body of Christ. I'm chosen in you. And I was chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. Amen. Oh, glory to God. This is something we don't understand. It's a mystery. But God planned for our redemption before he even made us. What a wonderful God. And yes. He's chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Mm. Now, let's not underestimate God. Oh, I'm just a sinner. I'll never amount to anything, you know. God doesn't look at us that way. He looks at us as complete in Christ. Mm-hmm. He looks at us through Christ. And I think we ought to, without being, conceited or whatever.
Arrogant.
We have a, pardon?
Or arrogance.
Arrogant.
Yeah.
But why don't we believe God? If he says it, let's accept it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
and let's see to one another.
Amen.
You're a saint. You're holy. And if we have that attitude, we'll treat one another better too. And we'll walk differently too.
Yes.
And so he said, we should be holy without blame before him in love. And I believe that's for the present as well. It's not just future. Mm-hmm. And put it off to the future. So let's be holy, be different, be set apart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Peter says he was uses the word precious. We're precious in his sight.
Yes.
And so on. And without before him. So we want to accept what Jesus says about us. So anyhow, I think I've gone far enough there, but after the third and fourth chapter, he talks, these first few verses, the first three chapters talk about what we have in Christ, and it doesn't give any conditions on our part. It's just given, it's the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you recognize that grace of God, then your habits are changed.
Yes.
And in the third chapter says, by grace are ye saved. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's talking about in these first three chapters, about the grace of God in more detail there.
Mm-hmm.
By grace you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of Christ. So we don't try to do the works of Christ. We don't try to honor him because for our salvation. And like someone said, we follow Christ, we try to obey him and his teachings and his instructions, not to be saved, but because we are saved.
Amen.
Yes.
There's a big difference.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King.
Yes.
I was with someone who was a believer, and they lost their temper, and I said, don't act that way. You're a child of the King. So we can live for Jesus because what he's done for us. And I'm not sure how to conclude this, but anyhow, let the Bible draw you in close to Jesus and realize it's not a dead word. And it's Christ is in his word. He is
yes.
the word. And this word was put down under the inspiration, anointing of the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit. And we are to read, which means we take it up again.
Yes.
And it becomes ours by the same Holy Spirit that anointed the one who wrote it there.
Amen.
So if we have lots of praise and worship, I think the Holy Spirit draws near in that atmosphere and can make that word real to us. And some of us, like myself, we're not very well educated or so on. You know, I did high school and then Bible school, and I read a lot. But anyhow, you don't, to my understanding anyhow, you don't understand the Bible by trying to understand it. You just let it come into you, let it flow. It's like eating a delicious piece of cake or butter pecan ice cream. You don't think about how it's made or anything or reason. You just enjoy it. And
yeah.
just enjoy the Word of God. And worshiping is a good way to do that. And just
Amen.
Loving Jesus. And, oh, is that what you did for me, Lord? Oh, I thank you for
yes.
that. So I hope this has been a blessing to you.
Yes.
So Lord,
thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
We just thank you for your presence in our life, Lord. You mean mm-hmm. so much to us, Lord. Mm-hmm. I thank you for a wonderful mother that loved you so much, mm-hmm. Lord, and witnessed mm-hmm. to others and meet her someday in the resurrection.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes. And
yeah.
I just pray that you'll make this real to everybody, that we all of us will be drawn much closer to you, and we'll seek you for just yourself, not for your gifts.
Yes.
which you will give, I'm sure.
Yes.
But for yourself, to know you better and to be changed into your life. And so we look forward to your coming. Mm-hmm. We'll be caught up into your presence and we'll be changed in an instant, in the
Amen.
Twinkling of an eye.
Hallelujah.
To be with our Lord forever.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think we had a treat.
Yeah.
I think we had some gems. Some jewels.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we'll do Kiddush in just a moment.
Yes.
Yes, while you're getting it ready, I just want to share something. I want to encourage you, you know, with the Word. You know, when you read the Word, and I might just be reiterating some things that Brother David said. When you read the Word of God, there are two people. There's you and God. That's all there is. There's you and God. Well, that's a lot, actually. And I don't know. I have this phrase going for me. You can't make it happen, but don't give up. Let me say that again. You can't make it happen. It's not an ABC. Well, Brother David said, do it this way. There's a lot of encouragement of what he said. But don't take it as an ABC. But there's a lot there. You worship God. You worship Him as you read the Word of God.
Yes.
Okay? Actually, you worship God whenever you think of God. Okay? And God will meet you. You know, and one of the things that I think is also in this, what I mean by don't give up, is that, you know, we're weak. We are weak. And just admit that. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I can't do it. And you know what I do? Jesus, help me. I can't do this. Just be honest with Him.
Yes.
I mean, you know, why not be honest with the One who created us?
Yes.
That's when we draw near, when we're the most
yes.
honest.
Yes.
Because that's when He can do something in you.
That's yes,
right.
Exactly.
You're open.